In fact, my sheikh, Hazrat Ghulam Habib, rahmatullah alayh, he used to, I've actually never heard him speak, although I've heard many interesting things about his talks, and I've heard many things about how when he would speak, it would affect such a huge change on the audience, and it was just a very, very deep talk whenever he spoke. I've never heard him speak except on audio tape one time for 10 minutes. And that 10-minute talk, basically what he was saying to his students, they were all sitting around, and he started his speech, and he basically said, look, my speaking has nothing to do with me speaking. It's just a very strange way of starting a talk. He just said, my speaking has nothing to do with me speaking. He said, basically, everything is upon the audience. If there's an audience of people that bring a desire, bring sincerity, bring purity, and they gather together, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He creates an environment or effectuates such a change in the environment that people are able to benefit. And if there's a bunch of people and they're not interested in listening and there's no sincerity and there's no purity and they were just forced to be there, it's very, very difficult to be able to create change in that environment. So actually, the talk and the benefit that arises from the gathering is not based on the speaker, it's based on the group of listeners that gather together. So again, it's the same thing. What is he saying? He's saying that the environment is the key thing. If you create an environment and then you put a speaker in there, then that speaker, even if the speaker is a, you know, they say that there was a, you know, what was it, like a boy who grew up living with the lions and then he started acting like the lions, or I don't know the story, but there's a story like this, right? So it's the same way. I mean, you put a speaker on the musalla, right, and he's maybe not even qualified to speak, but if everybody in the audience has that much talab, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the audience and then inspires in that speaker something beneficial for the audience or something that will effectuate a change in the audience. One time there was a alim, young alim, who finished his studies, and he spent so many years studying in the madrasa. He studied all of these great, you know, subjects, fiqh, hadith, Quran, tafsir, etc., etc. So when he finished his studies, he came into his father's khanaqah. Khanaqah is a place where a bunch of people gather together to purify themselves spiritually. So he came into his father's khanaqah, and then they asked him, you know, give us, his father himself said to his son, give us a talk. So he began to speak, and he spoke so eloquently. And he bestowed upon these people just the most pinnacle, you know, the pinnacles of knowledge. Just things that you would never think about, but are just brilliant because of the way he would analyze things. So he spoke and he spoke and he spoke and just gave this extremely eloquent speech. And when he was all done, you know, he really felt like he had spoken, and he really felt that he had done justice to the gathering. And so then he, you know, finished his talk and he left the place from which he was speaking. And then his father sat down, you know, and when his father sat down, his father just looked at the whole crowd, and he started looking at them, and he was just very quiet. And he said that, I left some milk out for suhoor, but the cat came and drank it. And everybody started crying. The whole place just started crying. Then the son was sitting there, and he started thinking, you know, what's going on? I gave this eloquent speech, and I presented the pinnacles of knowledge. I presented things in such a way that people would never be able to reflect on them by themselves, you know, and nothing. The audience was not moved. They were just staring at me. And my father comes, and he sits down, and he says things that don't even make sense. You know, I left the milk out for suhoor, and the cat came and drank it, and everybody's crying, you know, as if something was revealed upon them. So what's going on here? And then he learned from that particular gathering that actually it's not so much the words that are spoken, but actually the person who's speaking it, and that person who's speaking it is obviously dependent, as I told you earlier, on the audience that's present. So it's because there was such sincerity in his words, and there was such a connection between the hearts of those people and the person speaking, that all of them were able to gather a great amount from just such simple words that perhaps don't even make sense if you were to hear them outside of that particular context. So anyway, the point is that in everything Allah has placed a sign. You know, when you go to the zoo and you walk around, you can just walk around and you can say, that's the animal, rawr, you know, and that's the penguin, and you're pointing out to your kids that this is the penguin and this is the peacock and this is the goat. Or you can sit down and think, subhanAllah, okay, why is the lion sitting in the lion's cage and not in the penguin's den? Because that lion has to be in his own cage. He won't survive anyplace else. Because he's required, in order to be a lion, he requires the environment of a lion. Even though he's a lion and such a tough animal, without his environment, he's nothing. Right? Then you start thinking, well, the penguin is the same way. Such a smart little animal and so able to swim through water and get back on land and then jump back in water and so eloquent in the way it moves. But without that environment, it's nothing. Right? And then you go animal to animal to animal and you see that every single animal is the same way. And that's why we say that a Muslim in the masjid is like a fish in water. The Muslim in the masjid is like a fish in water. So what does that mean? When you take the Muslim out, when you take the fish out of water, what happens? The fish just cannot gain any position in which it's comfortable. Doesn't matter what you do. It will just flop, 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 flop. It will not be able to sit calmly unless you put it back in the water. So in the same way, for the Muslim, this is our water. This is where we are most comfortable. This is where we can freely swim around and be who we're supposed to be. But the moment we get out, it's the same way. We don't feel comfortable. We feel like something's missing. We feel like we should be somewhere. We look forward to the next prayer because it's an opportunity to get back into the water. But again, environment is everything. So if you desire to be a Muslim, then you have to be in the environment of a Muslim. And then this is going to play into so many. If you just have this principle, then it will guide you through so many things. When you're deciding to get married, who are you going to choose? You're going to choose the most righteous spouse. Why? Because you need the environment. Otherwise, it's over. You know, there is no such thing as, I'll marry her and then make her like this. Or I'll marry him and then he'll become like this. Yes, it does happen, but that's not the way you make the decision. You make the decision that I want to marry this person so I can become like that. You know, you always choose the proper environment so that you can then subsequently become like that. Same way with when you're making a decision about where to live. People make foolish decisions. The most foolish decision is the person who goes and goes 20 miles away from the masjid so that they can have a house twice the size that they would have if they were closer to the masjid. People make this decision all the time. It's the most foolish decision. They get a lot of space, and with that space, they bring a lot of headache. All right? And you could have been right next to the masjid. You would have had less space, but you would have had much less headache. And I can tell you, one prayer in the masjid far supersedes anything that you would get out of that bigger house. Just one prayer. If you were by the masjid, then it meant you would pray asr prayer in the masjid. And if you were further away, you'd be praying asr prayer at home. Then it's far superior for you to choose a house next to the masjid so that you get asr prayer in the masjid. Why? Because that asr prayer is going to give you a mansion in Jannah. Right? But what is this going to give you? That's going to give you nothing but headache. The more space you have, the more headache, the more it is for room for headache. That's the way it works. It's not that the more space you have, the more comfortable you're going to be. The further you're away from the masjid, the further you are from your environment. The further you are from your environment, you're never going to feel at peace unless you change who you are. Right? If the lion wants to be the lion, he's never going to be happy until he's in the jungle. Until he says, no, I'm a penguin, I don't care. And then he'll sit in the Arctic and he'll be fine. So, yeah, it'll slowly, your identity will be stripped away from you. The only time you'll ever be happy is when you decide that you're going to give up on the deen altogether. Then maybe you might be happy for a few years, or quote-unquote happy for a few years. But then in the grave, obviously, it'll be a whole different scenario. So every decision in life has to be made this way. When you choose where you're going to go to college, you choose the college where there's more Muslims, where there may be more righteous people, where there's definite gatherings of prayer, where people are thinking about Allah and the Day of Judgment and the Messenger. When you choose where you're going to live, you make the same decisions. When you choose who you're going to marry, you decide in the exact same way. Environment is everything. For us, environment is everything. So we don't sacrifice on environment because that's what's going to allow us to develop. Though may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be able to be in an environment that's conducive to our growth, and may he create amongst us and around us an environment that will allow us to develop. وَآخُرُ الدَّعْوَانَ عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ